I love wrestling. It's the best. People try to make you feel stupid for liking it. They're always like, hey, you know that thing you love with the pageantry and the fireworks and the golden belts. It's fake. And I'm supposed to be like, oh no, you've ripped my world asunder. I guess I'll just watch House now. But really, it should be like, well, no shit, it's fake. What type of psychopath would I have to be if I wanted it to be real? Oh, you mean the thing where people have minor disagreements, so they body slam each other? And there's a guy who carries around a snake in a bag that he uses to bite his enemies. But it won't work against The Undertaker because he don't got no blood. You telling me that's not on the up and up?
Baby, you're laying blow.
What did that baby do?
No.
What are you gonna do?
Okay.
When Hulkamania runs wild on you.
Yeah. You see, it ties in because it's 80s wrestling.
Gonna steal a little baby. Make it do a bunch of cocaine.
Yeah, now you're tying it back into Aerosmith. Okay, you figured it out. It's me. It's big time Matt. Oh, with me as always,
I need an identity.
Tito Santana to my Rick Martel.
Oh, okay. We're going to be Strike Force.
I don't know if we've been them yet.
My,
if not,
motivation for the evening. Ahoy, hoy to everybody out there listening. We're back again. As I understand it, you just got back from a big debate because you're heavily involved in the local politics these days.
Yeah, Nate Adams is your name. I didn't say
that's
that,
right.
By the way.
That's right.
It's good to give you recognition.
So, what's the word on the streets? What are people debating about out there? What are the big issues of the day?
Oh, a lot of people want to be important people. And some people
are
more
that.
Qualified to be important than other people are, and
sure,
you know,
it never
who's
seems
to say
to factor in when it comes to officials being elected, though, does it?
No, absolutely not. But
very interesting.
It was good. It was an all right time.
Very interesting.
It was an all right time. But we can't waste any time because we got a lot to get into tonight.
Okay. Wow.
This is the go home show.
Get our motors running. Head out on the highway
to WrestleMania.
Okay.
We do our current
wrestling
talk. You
want to talk about modern wrestling.
We're our this baby is, oil and blow world of wrestling.
This is getting annoying.
Here we go. I'm going to run down the card and you're going to make
your
predictions.
I know there's 17 matches. I don't want to run down the whole
fucking
quick.
Card. We're going quick and I want your predictions.
Okay.
Ready? First off, Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar.
Roman Reigns.
Boom. AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura. Really? You think AJ?
Styles. I wouldn't take the belt off him.
Wow.
Why take the belt off of him?
Because it's WWE.
Vince doesn't like Asian people.
Ronda Rousey and Kurt Angle versus Stephanie McMahon and Triple H.
Oh, I gotta hope Ronda Rousey's getting that win.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Bryan.
Big investment.
Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. If Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn lose, they're fired.
Okay, yeah, Shane eats that pin.
I'm going to say Kevin and Sammy get fired and end up on Raw in the draft shakeup.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yep. Here we go.
I don't know why Vince would want those two scrubs on his main show,
though. One of the best, potentially best matches on the card. Charlotte versus Asuka.
Okay. Charlotte.
Really?
I don't think there's anywhere else to go with this Asuka streak. You got to end it at some point. This is the point.
No, I'm saying she gets the title, holds it for a year, and then loses it to Ronda Rousey next year.
That's too much. She's already ran through their entire roster.
Okay. Women's. Raw Women's. Alexa Bliss, my
two
girl,
women's
versus
matches.
Nia Jax.
They're going to give it to Nia Jax, but in my heart, I want Alexa to win.
Oh, I want her to win everything. Intercontinental Championship, Miz, Seth Rollins, Finn Balor.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Who cares? Whatever.
Okay.
Roll the dice.
Oh, another multi-match.
I guarantee they don't know who's winning that match at this point. Nor do they care.
Beforehand. Another multi-man match for another secondary title, the United States Championship, Randy Orton versus Bobby Roode versus Jinder Mahal versus Rusev versus who cares?
Rusev.
Nice.
Because I like his Instagrams.
He is the most over by a
Oh, he's mile. Definitely not going to win then. Yeah. Let's go Jinder Mahal.
Yeah, he's like Zack Ryder over right now.
Oh, yeah, no, they're not going to give. If he's getting big reactions, then no, definitely not.
Jinder Mahal, I like that. SmackDown Tag Team Champions, the Usos versus the New Days versus the Brothers of Bludgeon.
Oh, who's the champs right now?
I don't know. Usos.
Okay.
They've been building up the Bludgeon Brothers as unstoppable monsters leading up to this.
Usos retain.
Okay. Wow. I'm going to say Bludgeon Brothers, new champs. ROG Tag Team Championship. ROG? Raw. The Bar, Cesaris and Sheamo.
Uh-huh.
Cesaris and Sheamo. You know those two. Versus, it's hard to do this fast. Braun Strowman and a partner to be determined, which probably got announced on Raw tonight, and I'm just going to guess it's Elias Sampson.
Oh, okay. Whatever Braun's involved with, he wins because this is just an excuse to make him look good because they foolishly had no real plan for him for WrestleMania.
Yeah, I'm going to say...
He should be in that Roman Reigns spot, everybody.
I'm going to say...
He should be in that Roman Reigns spot.
I'm going to say he loses. It's Elias' fault, and he beats up Elias to give the fans what they want.
Oh, my God. That would be so dumb.
We're getting to the important matches you want to talk about now. Cruiserweight Championship, the big tournament. The big 205 live tournament has been leading up to this.
Not going
to
be on the card.
It is Cedric Alexander.
It's not going to be on the card.
Versus Mustafa Ali.
Happens on the pre-show. No one ever thinks about it again. That's my prediction.
Wow. Big one here.
Okay.
This is like the third or fifth annual Andre.
Oh, the Battle Royal?
Yeah, who's winning?
I don't know. Also on the pre-show, whoever's not booked into a match is in it.
I got these names for you so far. Dolph Ziggler, Matt Hardy, The Revival,
not gonna win anything.
Mojo Rawley,
Matt Hardy, he's
Baron
the only
Corbin,
one. He's got
Ty Dillinger,
the only one with any sort of storyline going right now.
Nah, they just kind of wrapped up his storyline with Bray Wyatt. And finally, the match formerly known as the Woman Rapist Battle Royal.
Oh, this is a big one. This is very prestigious. They're not going to want anybody to win who's got any sort of questionable history.
We got Sasha.
It's
got
to be somebody real
Bailey,
wholesome.
We got Becky. We got Naomi, Natalia, and the Riot Squad.
Okay, I'm going to shoot straight with you. I only know who like two of these women are. Huh. So I'm going to go Bailey.
Huh.
Yeah, there we go. Is that it?
I'm going to go Natalya. They give her a WrestleMania moment.
Is she even still on the roster?
Doesn't matter. She is, man.
Okay.
Why ask why? Try Bud Dry.
Bud Dry, by the way, is my pick for the Bud Bowl this year.
Yeah. Look at that. We're only six.
I think they got it.
Almost 7 minutes in.
Okay, I'll have to edit all that out anyways.
We got all the current wrestling out of the way.
Once we get to like an hour and a half in, this is when
all
non-essential talk starts to go.
I'm just gonna
in
keep,
the editing process.
I'm just going to keep referencing and throwing back to it the entire episode.
Well, I'm going to get that bleep button out pretty quickly.
Oh, shit.
This could get completely incoherent.
Well, we got the wrestling talk out of the way. Well, the current wrestling talk.
That's
now we
good.
Can go to what we know.
Let's go into that rundown of our, you know, our weekly review. This week we're doing Primetime Wrestling.
You just stuck in this
February 1st, 1988.
Stuck in this world we live in covering this 88 wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Do you just feel like somebody's like drunk uncle that just there's some kind of developmental challenge along the lines, whether it was because of like bad drugs or booze?
I know a lot of uncles like this. What are you saying he's responsible for?
No, I'm saying we're, like, turning into that.
We're turning into
like,
these drunk uncles?
I'm going to tell you something about what Hulk Hogan was doing. Andre had a giant
in
1988.
No, that's absurd. I'm fucking on top of my game.
Okay, because I...
Sharp as a tack. Like,
I've seen otherwise.
Honing my instincts
okay.
on all this old wrestling. This is where all the wisdom is. All right. Stuff
okay.
right here. This week, the rundown is brought
it?
To us by...
Who's got it?
Probably the best indie film of 2017, The Florida Project, which is going to be available on Amazon Prime on the 6th of April.
It's got all Willem Dafoe in it.
Willem Dafoe should have got all the awards for it. Great little film. Didn't get any of those Oscar nods, so thumb your nose at the Oscars by watching it.
That's what I think about you, Oscars.
On Amazon Prime, The Rundown, brought to you by The Florida Project. First match, we got The Rock, the original Rock, Don Morocco. He's in there versus that wild Samoan Sika.
Sika.
It wins. Morocco wins with a pretty fucking awesome move. He's
right?
Like, he's up on the top rope. And he like grabs Sika's head and puts his knee into it. And then he like rides his head all the way down and just crushes his skull into the mat.
Now, real quick, this isn't like Ronnie Garvin riding a head last week. This is a different kind of thing.
No, absolutely not. This is, there was no butthole to nostril action in this. It was full on, looked like a devastating wrestling move. Not Ronnie Garvin perv stuff. Coco Beware versus King Harley Race is the second match. It ends in a time limit draw after what felt like 5 or 6 hours.
Roughly.
Then we move on to Billy Jack Haynes.
My guy.
Your guy. He's in there versus Outlaw Ron Bass. We got the Oregon Ninja versus the Texas Hillbilly. Bass eventually loses his shit because he's an outlaw, and he gets DQ'd. And he starts choking Billy Jack with his bull rope and then pushing the ref around. You can't do that in wrestling. Bad News Brown in his WWF debut. Still got the BA on his boots.
I was going to say, he has got the bad attitude boots still.
He hasn't gotten his... probably got his new name 5 minutes before coming out there. He's in there against Brady Boone. This is a total squash. Bad News wins after just like a meager clothesline. It wasn't even one of...
It was a
particular amount of stank or anything. It was just like jobber match. You lost to a clothesline, buddy. Yeah. Our big main event this week, a lumberjack match.
Ooh!
You know, two big stars, the Honky Tonk Man.
Two of the
current
biggest.
Icy champ. And they're against a former Icy champ, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Two of the biggest.
Ricky Steamboat, looking good, probably would have won, but he didn't because his dumb friend Georgie Animal Steel causes a big distraction. That leads to Mothra Style Jimmy Hart's megaphone getting conked over Ricky Steamboat's head, and then he eats a pin. That's what you get for hanging out with, like, you know, developmentally disabled weirdos.
Oh, gosh.
You need to keep it high class. Only hang out with the best people.
Hey, but you know what we
only
did
the
have?
The best. What?
A Lanny Poffo sighting.
Oh, was he out there?
He was one of
those lumberjacks?
Yeah. He was the guy that I was like, who the fuck's that guy?
The genius.
And then later on, they were like, it's Lanny Poffo. No, he was still a good guy. He wasn't the genius.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm missing him then, because they were leaning on him pretty heavily back in those 85 episodes we were watching in 88. It's like, where is he? Where is he every week?
He hasn't come back the genius yet.
Well, get him repackaged, because I need some Poffo in my
genius.
Life. I need some poetry.
Let me tell you about a lumberjack match.
After the three count, we do the five count. This is sort of just like some more verbal poetry right here. Like, we dig down deep into the heart of these pro wrestling matters. So deep,
it's
put her ass to sleep.
Ooh, shake them up.
I hope we're not putting anybody to sleep. This is scintillating audio commentary right here. Should have everybody at the edge of their seats.
Oh,
wondering what our five... points of the five count are going to be.
What happens next?
I need to get in here. I need you to talk about your number one.
My number one is you and I the other day talked about including phone pranks in our show.
Oh, yeah. Some man-cow-esque phone scams.
Yeah, so we're probably doing those soon.
Okay, yeah, definitely.
Calling people up and doing
bad
wrestler
impersonations. You need to give me a little bit of time to... pull out my Jerky Boys albums, do some, like, you know, study some tape.
Snatch those Ryan Zimmer and Booper in a shallow right, and Anthony Rizzo is coming over and juggles it. Oh, he made that one harder than it should have been, too.
He did. Sizzle chest.
We got it, though. Frank Rizzo!
I'm pretty sure we could just kind of get a lot of audio of Lex Luger promos.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're saying we do some classic, like, soundboard pranks? Yeah.
Stop it!
Hello. Please leave a message.
Hello? Hello?
Hi. How are you?
May I ask who's calling?
Yeah. Hey, I'm a police officer. I want to ask you a bunch of questions. Who are you?
About what?
Who are you?
Who are you?
John Kimball. Who are you?
What's the matter?
Give me your address, please.
If it's a police officer, you'd be identifying yourself.
Yeah. John Kimball. That's right, I am.
No, you're bullshit's what you are.
No.
Now, I'm just going to check this phone number back, and we'll let the police take care of it, okay?
No!
That's what caller ID's all about.
No!
Soundboard pranks are a lost art that could be brought
this
back.
This is Cole's. How
I don't know.
Yeah, how can I help
I
you?
I don't know.
These shirts are too tight.
Oh, this is, yeah, we could, this is something that's going to happen.
Yeah, but that's not really it. My number one.
Not yet, in coming weeks.
It's going to be. It's going to be. Don Morocco versus Sika.
Yeah, that's a match that happened.
Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Most of it. I'm really bothered by the weird hair that grows on Morocco's
shoulders.
Roided traps.
Yeah, he's
not
got,
shoulders,
yeah,
just the
like
roided
got
traps.
That trap hair. It looks like somebody just like, I don't know, put like a swath of crazy glue on his like shoulder and then like he rolled around in a gorilla cage or something.
It's weird.
It's just literally one spot of like
doesn't
deep,
sit right with me.
Thick black hair.
It's kind of disturbing.
I had to actually stop and go back 30 seconds to
what
be like, did
fuck
I actually
that?
See
yeah.
that?
Yeah, I did the same exact thing.
And this guy's like the biggest roid monster of
all
time at this point.
I'm going to hold the left edge of my Apple remote here so I can just go back
and
a hair.
I'm like, this guy's body is completely hairless other than that. He's totally a body guy. He's roid. How does he let that ride? And then I just realized, oh, that's just the point of his back that his roided out arms can't touch.
Oh, yeah.
When he's like waxing it. So he just doesn't realize it's there. He's
right.
just missing
he just
it.
Thinks he looks good.
And the rest of his back would look like that if not for like his big gorilla arm.
It's
not
rough.
Being able to be flexible. Oh, because he's on a lot of steroids right here, man.
But what I'm finding out about Don Morocco being featured every week.
I'm learning new stuff every day.
Is that I don't really mind his work.
See, this is my number one as well. This I don't really remember him being a face.
Yeah.
Good guy.
Yeah.
And he is here. This in my memory, he was always the cocky heel. But
yeah.
when he's working face, he can move around a little bit.
He's
doing some drop kicks.
It's kind of exciting.
Doing that cool knee thing.
He was
he did
doing
one
that.
Of those sunset flips out of the corner things.
He was doing some solid like leg work early in the match, which kind of bordered on heel-esque.
He's not bad.
He was doing those like leg drags where he like flips and yanks on your foot and pops your hip.
I feel like his plotting like going after a guy heel offense pretty boring and unmemorable. You let this guy be a good guy and he's hopping around and it gives you what's that big old lump of muscles doing hopping around like that.
And the fine folks of Madison Square Garden, they didn't mind him.
And he's not taking it too far. He's not like doing shit a big guy shouldn't be able to do. He's just letting like the momentum of his shoulder muscles like take him ass over tea kettle to do fun tumbling stuff.
Right, he's not going like above and beyond like some of these indie jobbers.
Mm-hmm.
Morocco's like, I'm just a roided to shit dude falling in style.
Good for him.
Yeah.
And he gets the big win.
He does.
I think
that,
he deserves
that
it.
That move, again. Somebody should be just utilizing that as a finisher these days.
Yeah, I think maybe just everybody's too small. Like, if you ride any of the current guys down like that, they're
you'll
not going to have the core strength to like protect themselves at all, so you'll probably just literally smash their skull like a rotting fucking watermelon at a Gallagher show, just everywhere, all over the canvas, people in the front row. They don't have those tarps
Gallagher.
That you get at Gallagher shows
we love Gallagher.
Put over the front of them, so they're just going to get brains all over their new clothes.
How many people want to see me smash some watermelons?
You know, before I do that, though, I'm going to talk some truths about life. How come all these other races are so much lazier than white people?
Yeah.
Oh, Gallagher, that's racist.
Black comedians only talk about the difference between blacks and whites.
Right, well, there are some stereotypes. Look, I am a person that thinks that some stereotypes, some parts of stereotypes are obviously true. The Jewish one.
The entire act.
Well, no, but if
is picking on white people that they don't do
or,
it
or,
right.
Or talking about black community stuff.
I'm done.
You're done? I'm not. I was just having a conversation.
No, you're not.
I have more respect for comedy.
You're trying to be controversial.
I am not.
Yes, you are. You're just arguing with me. I have 30 years of experience.
Well, then tell me about comedy. I just think that show business is show business.
Well, then just why don't you do the interview and tell people your opinion?
We were having a good conversation.
No, it's,
Oh, come on, Gallagher. All right. Well, that didn't. Well, maybe it really went well. I don't know. I'm certainly not going to chase after him.
Yeah, how much of his millions did he donate to Trump's campaign?
Oh, I got to imagine not many because he seems like a really selfish man, but I bet he did
thousand.
A lot of bitching about Hillary.
Okay.
Like, just like absent.
Is that what you want? A woman in power?
You know.
Oh, Gallagher, this is really funny.
CIA kill people in the 1980s and other stuff I heard on Alex Jones's radio program.
If God didn't want them in the kitchen, he wouldn't make their feet so small so they could stand so close
to the
sink.
Making a lot of good points, Gallagher. Making a lot of good points.
Again, those are Gallagher's opinions, not mine.
Yeah.
But
I just liked Hillary for the real stuff. Duh. You know, Pizzagate.
Oh, the best part of the match.
Uh-huh.
It ends.
Yeah, that was the best part.
Shazam.
Hey!
We got, we throw it back to the studio, and who do we got in there, pal?
Well, that's my number two. Just what a big disappointment this show was, because Gorilla's gone this week, and we got Vince McMahon sitting in his fucking seat.
I liked it.
Doing all his corny, phony announcer bullshit.
I liked it.
Ugh. At one point, Bobby the Brain's just so unwilling to try and banter back and forth with Vince that he just starts doing his phone gimmick and like making fake bets to a bookie and just not responding to anything Vince is saying.
Yeah, Brain was great.
There's a great chemistry back
Vince
and forth
was doing really
between
well
Gorilla
too.
And Brain. They needle each other. They have the banter. Vince is just comes off as a dumb bully.
Yeah, no,
There's no banter.
I really liked it.
Okay, well, what did you possibly like about Vince McMahon taking this fucking seat on Primetime Wrestling?
Oh, I don't know. All of it. How about as soon as that match ends, Vince McMahon's like, take a look at those hoses on him. The vascularity.
Yeah, Vince loves talking about vascularity, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Tried to needle Bobby a lot about not being in the gym. Oh, I'd like to see you in a gym. That would never happen.
He's one of those Cochrane guys because he just wants that thing just, you know what I'm
going
saying?
Going to the gym. But he's one of those butt plug guys, too.
Only when he's lifting.
These super in charge dudes, they always want to be dominated behind closed doors. That's always the story.
Yeah.
You know, Linda has done some weird stuff to him.
Oh,
stepping on his balls with high heels and stuff. Just, it's got to get weird.
I imagine a lot of other wrestlers, other like really, really strong wrestlers,
the strongest
banging Linda.
Wrestlers, the strongest. Oh, yeah.
While like Vince
has to hide in the closet.
Yeah. Or maybe give it to her harder.
He's just bent over and they're throwing baloney at Vince's ass while they're banging his wife.
Yeah.
And all
I'm a dirty boy. Yeah.
All this shit is
deaf. Yeah, lay into her. Yeah.
It's deaf.
Pile driver.
There's a big rumor out there that Randy Savage got kicked out of the company and was never brought back just because he refused to have sex with Linda.
Yeah.
Like people have said that. They've said that for years. Blackballed. That's why they never mentioned
have heard
him again.
Some things about Stephanie.
I've never found
any of that to be true.
Definitely was willing to peg Linda in front of Vince. And
absolutely.
That's why she's
in the position
she
is in today. Yeah.
So good on you for doing what you needed to do, Big Steph. You're making it happen. Another thing I wanted to say before that Morocco match, I got to go back to it. Just one little moment. Is before the match started, right before, there was just one lady in the crowd that got picked up on the mic real quick as Morocco was coming out, and she just goes, looking good! Like she said it really loud over everybody. And like Morocco was not looking good. He was literally looking like a shaved fucking gorilla. And I was like, this chick's into some weird
stuff. I'm sorry, did you not see the hoses on him?
This rat is into
on those arms?
Weird fucking stuff. So good on her.
That's what you want, man. That's how you grow the product.
This is good. This show, it kind of moved. We're moving along good.
Yeah.
You got another one? You got
the
next
one?
I
do. My second, we're moving it to the Maple Leaf Gardens for that Coco Beware versus King Harley race match.
All we're talking about is how terrible it was, right?
Yeah, like I...
what was going on here?
It's terrible, but under the guise that it's not terrible.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like the actual, like... work is fine.
Yeah.
Like them like going back and forth, like, you know, it's flowing well, but then it just like doesn't end and it just doesn't end and it just doesn't end. And at some point Harley's hit Coco with like
everything.
12 or 14 finishers and Coco just keeps kicking out and you're like, so what? Does he have invincibility mode on?
Yeah.
Like what is this match? Like what am I supposed to be invested in? Like
the build just, the end build just kind of got out of
there's
hand.
There's no like increase in the selling. Just like, oh, now I'm really devastated. Now I'm really devastated. It's just like hit you with a move, sell it for a while, hit you with a move, sell it for a while, try to pin you, kicks out. It's like, ooh, he was really selling. How'd he kick out? Hits him with another move, sells it for a while, hits him with another move, sells it for a while, try to pin him. Okay, now he's going to be done. kicks out again, and
there's no real explanation.
It looked like a modern indie match where it's just back and forth, and forth, 50-50 bullshit. No story being told.
No.
I guess the entire story was, hey, we got time to kill. You guys got to go to a time limit draw.
I'm thinking the
this
reason...
This is fucking Harley Race, and he's just out there doing nothing other than just hitting moves.
I'm thinking, like, the reason that, like, a part of me wanted to be convinced that it was okay was because, like, we're coming off that last week at WCW, like 45-second matches, and I was just happy to, like, sit with something for
a minute.
There's
a couple moments, like, where Coco gets fired up. And, I really liked how they keep hitting each other with just straight shots to the face. Like, their punches are great. Here's Coco's big comeback. He's fired up and he's punching him again. This is going to lead into the finishing sequence, whatever that is. No, it's not. Now they're just going back into like what feels like the middle of the match again.
They do this.
They just cycle through that shit again again.
They do this series where like they're trying to give each other headbutts and they're both just no-selling them.
There's some real like brain trauma shit going on there.
But they do these headbutts. Finally, Coco just grabs Harley by the face and punches him square in the nose.
Yeah.
And it looked great.
Yeah. Their straight punches to the face were amazing.
Yeah.
Shit was a little bit stiff-ski, but like also just like
not out of control.
You could tell,
though.
They weren't actually hurting each other.
Yeah.
It looked real good.
They knew
good.
What they were doing. They knew how to throw those punches. It was nice. So, like I said, I mean, it just went on too long. And
if they had an actual finish to work towards and they worked towards it, it would have been fine. But then it just kept going and going and going.
The capability, the whatever, the opportunity, I don't know what the word is, but there was something there.
A lot of good words out there. Pick one.
There was something there. It could have been.
This is a blown opportunity is what it
was.
There
it was.
Wasted potential here. You got a great
potential.
Heel.
You
got a good face, and they're going at it, and they're not given a story to tell. They're just out there trading moves.
Yeah.
Trading moves.
Words fail me. What happened, though? We had we had some good brain here. Coco Beware. You know the five hardest years in Coco's life?
What were those?
Third grade.
Ba-dum.
Bam!
Sounds pretty good. It's because he's so stupid. You get it?
Yep. It's good stuff. They cut to there's a commercial break in this match.
Mm-hmm.
Because
it's
so
long.
And they're in the studio, and we get some of that great Vince McMahon
brain
banter.
That
I like and you don't.
No, yeah.
To which Vince goes, gotta give Coco the edge for speed here, don't you? To which Brain says, nope. That's great.
Yeah,
that's really good stuff.
Bobby Heenan clearly thrilled to be out there with his boss.
It worked well for
me. Doing some commentary, doing some of this hosting jibber jabber. Vince, what an anchor around any color commentator's neck he is.
Yep.
We keep picking the same ones here, so we're moving right along. So I'm just gonna throw an extra one in here as one of mine. When they're talking about the upcoming main event, Friday night main event. It's not on a Saturday. Big event.
In Indianapolis.
They're having the fans pick who they think are going to win.
Oh, don't
matches.
Worry. I've got that one too,
okay,
friend.
So mine is just when they ask the two guys in mullets who's going to win between Macho and Honky.
You mean the uncles of the brothers from Gummo that fight in the trailer?
These two kids I know, these two brothers, they murdered their parents. They both claim to be raised as Jehovah Witnesses. They came into school in really nice shorts and polished tennis sneakers. And their shirts were always collared with buttons, and their hair was always slicked back. Teeth were always brushed, and their shirts and pants were always ironed, and their shoes never were scuffed up or anything like that. And they seem to have a wonderful life. I don't know what went wrong.
Why don't you give me them shoes?
Because they're new, and I don't give you new shoes. You handyman?
Yeah, fuck that, man. That shit's... I'm keeping this shit right here.
Sorry.
Yeah. Oh. This one. Fuck them all.
Get off me, man!
Oh.
Ah! told you not to hit me in the face.
Oh, damn! Sick old fucker. Hit me right now. What's up? I'm gonna fuck ya. All right, what's up? Damn, shit. Damn, man, what is down? Shit, all right. Oh, fuck. Shit, man, give me them shoes.
So what's for dinner, man? You cooking tonight?
Yeah, these guys, they looked like they just crawled straight out of like a trailer park, like tornado disaster.
It's 88.
And somehow the WWF cameras were there and they're like, oh, you see, you survived that trailer park tornado disaster. Who do you think's winning that IC title match? So the guy just says, Honky Tonk Man is from the South and that's where it is. And I loved him.
Not quite. You almost had it. It's Honky Tonk Man is from the South and that's where it is, man.
But then,
well, yeah. But that's where it is, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's like,
and they had those mullets.
You're trying to tell me that the bangs, South is where it is? Because
bangs combed straight.
You guys look
forward,
like idiots.
Their sweatshirts with their gold chains.
The South is not where it is.
Are you sure?
If you two are what the South is like, good Lord, keep me out of the South.
I liked all the women they kept interviewing, and then every once in a while, they'd get a ring rat, and she'd be, like, pulling for the heel.
Yeah.
Because she knew.
She doesn't give a shit about the storylines being told. She's there for dirty reasons.
Yeah.
Hello, and welcome to the Night Companion. Oh. If you are looking for female callers, press 1. Right. If you are looking for...
All right.
Welcome to the female caller directory. If you are looking for long-term companions, press 2. For casual times, press 3.
Okay.
Please make your... Welcome to the casual directory list. For phone sex, press 1.
Okay.
Welcome to the phone sex directory. For blondes, press 1. For brunettes, press 3. For other hair colors, press 4. And for the extra special companions, press 5.
Okay.
Welcome to the extra special directory list. For leather, press 1. For bondage and discipline, press 2. And for chicken ladies, press 3.
Okay.
Don't go on home, hello?
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 Hello? Hey, how you doing tonight?
I'm damn near dead of boredom. Been waiting a while.
All right. So, you into phone sex?
Why, yeah.
All right. So, what do you look like?
Well, I'm 6 feet tall, with lots of charm and a charm bracelet and a beak and chicken's feet and big brown eyes. And I'm wearing a house dress with nothing on underneath because I'm hot for you. So what do you look like?
What, me? Well, I'm a big guy with brown hair, green eyes, and I got big arms because I drum, right?
Oh, yeah? And what do you look like?
Well, I'm a big guy with brown hair, green eyes, and I got big arms because of drum, right?
Oh, yeah? What do you look like?
I just told you.
Oh, yeah?
Right.
So, what do you want to talk about?
Well,
how about this?
Tough.
Pretend I'm in a field, and you're working on a tractor.
Okay.
And I'm bringing you milk and eggs.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're tired. Only you're not tired, you're aroused, eh? And you asked me to get under the tractor. So we get under the tractor and we're hiding.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
I got something else. How about, right? I don't got no shirt on because it's hot, right?
Oh, I saw you're bare chested.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds good. Oh!
You all right? Should I call 911?
That one southern woman was like, I want Macho Man to win because Honky Tonk Man, he can't dance.
Yeah, it was just ridiculous because Honky Tonk Man's a really good dancer.
He's a really good dancer.
And I've never once seen the Macho Man Randy Savage dance.
Yeah.
He's far too paranoid that somebody's going to sneak attack him at any minute.
I've seen him dance.
Oh, maybe at the Match Made in Heaven, Match Made in Hell SummerSlam wedding. Was there like a reception? Before Jake the Snake and The Undertaker crashed that reception, did him and Elizabeth do a slow dance?
Time for the first dance. Official married couple going to get out there. dance to Clapton's Wonderful Tonight. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If that was modern WWE and they did the Elizabeth Macho Man, you know they'd have to do one of those like stupid wedding viral video things that all white people do these days. Where like a song plays and then a spontaneous synchronized dance thing starts. White people are so lame, and like the worst
people.
When they're the worst is when like the woman in the situation has been allowed to just go off the rails for like a 3-year period and plan like a party with every stupid white person idea she's ever had all in one party. It's just the pinnacle of like,
that's why I go for
get these fucking people out of here.
Jennifer Lopez, the wedding planner.
Want me to go to your wedding? No, thank you. I don't want to come, quite frankly.
I'd prefer not to.
And yeah, it doesn't sound
thank
fun
you,
to me.
No, thank you.
You want me to listen to your older sister read that passage from the Bible about how love is not selfish and whatever? No. No, thank you, white people.
I'm going to show up.
Take a hike.
I love free food and open bars.
Yeah, that's true. I like dancing with drunk aunts.
Well, I'll see you at the next wedding, man.
Who do we know that's getting married?
I got people.
You got people?
I got people. Maybe I'll sneak you into one.
Yeah. Everybody I know is scumbagging it forever. Scumbagging it forever.
Yeah, we've officially hit that window where it's like, you know,
you're either married or you're scumbagging it forever.
Yeah, like the only weddings we're going to get to now are like second marriages.
Oh, those. I feel like we should have been at more of those.
Yeah.
Especially our big prediction of the Chicago legend Tommy Chi-Town.
Yeah.
By this point in his life, we had him three-peating like the 90s Chicago Bulls.
Yeah.
And then we were going to make those t-shirts with his three wedding rings on them.
Yeah.
Let us turn our attention to the dynasty in progress that is the Bulls.
The Bulls.
We have the Ming Dynasty on the run, my friend.
That's right. We're not just talking repeat or three-peat. We're talking a minimum eight-peat.
The Bulls are going to have so many championship banners, they're going to have to build a third balcony on the stadium.
That's right. As a taxpayer, that concerns me.
Such is the burden when your team is the
Doubles.
And he's still on that first fucking marriage.
Yeah, having a kid.
What's wrong with this woman?
Having a kid.
That this many years later, she's still married to the Chicago kid, Tommy Chi-Town.
She must really respect the city of Chicago.
And she's probably got like one of those firefighter fetishes.
Ooh.
I bet there's firefighter ring rats out
there. Yeah, he's a hot buddy.
She like 9/11 really hit her pretty hard. She was like right at her sexual development and like something in there is just like stuck. And whenever Tom puts on his fucking, squeezes his chubby body into his fireman outfit, she's just like, oh, get your motors running.
Yeah, I'm just upset we haven't gotten any second weddings yet because we should be wearing wrestling shirts to those.
And yeah, you've got full carte blanche to just be a drunk fucking goon at somebody's second wedding, especially if you knew them and had to go to their first one already.
Right.
And you did all the like the respectable congratulations.
Yeah, no,
like,
I'm wearing.
You've reached this milestone in your life type thing.
I'm wearing that Austin DTA shirt.
Oh,
you know?
Definitely. Yeah. I'm going to wear the APA Always Pounding Ass shirt.
That's, yeah, mm-hmm. I like that mm-hmm. one. Ronnie Bass versus my guy, Billy Jack Haynes.
What about it?
I loved it.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right out the bat,
mm-hmm.
you get some real Oregon Ninja
moves. Yeah. He's real tentative. He's like trying Bass and seeing what he's got,
yeah.
throwing a couple little fakes at him.
Yeah.
He's like, he does like up on his tippy toes
like,
a little bit.
Does a sweet, like, they both go down and he just like does this like back somersault into a handspring mm-hmm. into like on his feet in a straight ninja pose.
Yeah, he reminded me of that opening scene of 2001 where the apes are going up to the like obelisk and they're like
yeah.
touching it a little ooh, bit, then backing ooh, up ooh, really ooh, quick. Ooh, ooh, like, going up yeah. a little bit and then like touching it real quick and then backing
yeah.
up real quick.
Yeah, he's doing a lot of that.
Yeah, he's doing a lot of that to the outlaw Ron Bass.
He's kind
of
like slapping at Bass's thighs and like, ooh.
I'd be slapping those thighs too yeah. if I'd have a chance.
Debating on if Bass he wants to shoot
like
on him.
Look, a real bear daddy in this
oh,
point
yeah,
in his career.
Absolutely.
Nothing wrong with that.
Were the fine Canadian fans chanting basshole or asshole?
I thought it was either asshole or outlaw.
No. It was clearly asshole or basshole.
I guess it was asshole then, but I was like, that seems like they weren't doing that in 1988. Then I was like, it could just be outlaw, but they have weird
but
Canadian
we,
accents.
We found out a couple weeks ago that these 1988 Canadians are not the
That's
same
true.
Friendly Canadians we know
That's
today.
That's true. They were ahead of the game when it came to being
they were
profane
cutthroat.
At WWF shows.
They were just cutthroat, man.
So, yeah, especially this Toronto crowd. They seem to really have some sticks up their asses, and they're willing to get down and dirty here when it comes to mocking these heel wrestlers.
Yeah, but they were, the crowd was hot. They really were behind Haynes. They were getting loud for this one.
Yeah.
Which I liked. It was good to see a little
damn
fire.
Damn fine match. And then Outlaw was doing some great heel shit.
Yeah.
Liked when he was just working on him and he started jawing at Bobby Heenan. Tell him how I'm doing, Bobby. Yeah. Tell him how good I'm doing, Bobby.
Tell him how I'm doing, Bobby.
Because, you know, they're friends because they're both evil.
Yeah. See, I love that shit. You don't get that anymore. No, you used to get that in like the late 80s and
these
the early 90s.
These days when I watch the shows, I can't even tell. Like,
yeah.
You're talking about that fucking WrestleMania card and you're talking about IC title, triple threat. And I'm like, I have no idea which of those guys is probably heel or face right now.
Right.
Like, really, the U.S. title four way, especially. Like,
right.
Which one of those guys are heel and face? I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean...
Back then, all the bad guys hung out because they were evil together.
Right.
All the good guys hung out because they were dumb and lame together.
It wasn't about selling a t-shirt. It was about selling a fucking story.
These days, you got all these shades of gray that are just more like that brown color that you get when you mix every paint together and it just turns into brown poop. Experiment over. Go back to good guys and bad guys.
Yeah. Clear cut. One last thing I absolutely loved about this match. Mm-hmm. The finish at the end, right before Bass chokes Haynes with the whip.
Yeah.
He's got Haynes has Bass tied up in the ropes, and Bass just diff punches Haynes in the throat as hard as he can.
It's a good thing that guy's got so many throat muscles, or that would have probably really done something to
it. It was hard to watch.
Well, man's an outlaw.
He legitimately
tell him what he can
punch
and can't
that
do.
Man in the neck.
He's not here to follow the rules. Oof. That's for damn sure.
Ooh,
my next one, quick little touch, really warmed my heart, warmed the cockles of my heart.
You have no cockles.
Is during that Bad News Brown debut, when during the opening parts of the match, they cut away to a picture-in-picture interview with Bad News Brown, who's in a little corner box in the corner of the thing, just talking about who he is and giving us a chance to get to know his character.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's happening while the match is happening, and you're like, oh, I see that guy wrestling, I see that guy talking. I feel like there's a good way to get new guys, like, established that they haven't used for a really long time.
They've been doing it lately.
They need to bring it back.
They've been doing it lately? But not well.
That's good. Oh, okay. Well, I was about to give him a little props then.
Yeah, they've been trying to do the little...
The corner interview. It's
corner
great.
Corner interview, but they're not doing it that well. It's just not... It's
what
just
are
not
they doing?
Working.
What are they doing wrong?
It's either just the wrong person talking, or it's just...
See, that's why I kind of like that, like, a little bit, though. It's like...
Get over another story.
There's two things happening at once, so it doesn't have to be the best talker. So, like, you can get a guy who's not great at talking, but still give him a chance to do a little something without having to have a whole segment where the only thing happening is this guy standing there fucking talking.
Well, the other thing
this
is...
This is how you get, like, mid-carders a little character development.
But the...
Then you bring out your main eventers for, like, the I'm in the ring talking to Mean Gene type talking segments.
The other problem is... They get them in there talking, and they're not talking about anything because, as we established, no one's a good guy or a bad guy. So everybody just comes on screen and it's
probably
like,
just
I want to win.
Plug in their Twitter or something.
I would like to be the one that wins this match. Mm. There's a couple things I liked about that Bad News Brown match. I enjoyed his right hands. He wears that glove on that right hand.
So good.
His right hands are sweet. And something I really enjoyed. You said the little corner box interview thing, and he was on the mic and he was talking. He wasn't bad.
No.
He wasn't great.
He's believable.
Either. Yeah, he's believable.
I always bought him as like a brawling badass.
Yeah. Something I liked a lot beforehand, Brain, getting him over and being like, this guy could use a manager.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to get a,
there
I'd like
go.
To have a sit down talk
this
with this guy.
Man's quite the talent scout. Like, he's got a history of. Bringing in top-notch guys like the Brooklyn Brawler and the Red Rooster, so who better to tell you who the next big thing's going to be?
But either way, he's a legit established heel manager.
Mm-hmm.
So for him to even reference Bad News in the same breath...
Yeah, that's what
you're
these,
putting him over. That's rub,
colored
buddy.
Guys need to be doing.
That's rub.
That's what color guys need to be
and
doing.
You don't get that shit anymore. Makes me
so mad. Frustrating.
So mad.
Let's not get all worked up. Let's all right. take a breather here. Calm down. Let's move on to our next point.
You got anything to talk about?
I got one last. My last one is just they did a Hulk Hogan promo.
Okay.
And I just want to talk about how weird it was and how Hogan's promos, if you listen to the words he's saying, are just as incoherent and insane as the Ultimate Warriors.
Yeah.
But because you can understand his words a little bit more,
yeah.
He doesn't get, like, shit on like the Warrior does for just being an insane rambling moron.
Yeah.
But you go through all his classic shit, and it's insane.
Now, we did...
Stuff he's saying. This one in particular, at first he's talking about people betting on him and Andre.
Real quick, we did...
But then, like, he makes it, like, epic and esoteric.
We did back in, like, 86.
Mm-hmm.
And he was still getting points across.
Yeah.
He was, like, 86 was kind of pinnacle.
I feel like, yeah, he did sort of lose the thread of, like when maybe sobriety when he was, at some point.
Right. When he was getting on the mic in 86, like, he was getting his story across. Mm-hmm. He's burying the other guy. Like, this guy's a bad dude, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'm still kind of in that mode. So every time I see him come out, I want to poo-poo him because I don't like the Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt because he's going to say something relevant. And he hasn't been.
At this point.
All year.
Yeah, when he just, like, transitions from talking about how people should bet on him instead of Hogan to referring to God as the big bank teller in the sky. I was like, what the fuck is he talking about? Then in a couple of months, you get that big WrestleMania 4 going on where he's talking about all that shit about Atlantic City getting flooded and him dog paddling the Trump family out of there and stuff.
Speaking of the Hulkamaniacs, Hulk Hogan, we have seen him here at Atlantic City, and I know millions others are watching very intently all around the world.
But if you looked in their eyes, man, have you seen the fear in all those little Hulksters? They realize that when I get Andre the Giant cinched up in the launch position, when I slam him through the Trump Plaza, brother, from New York down to Tampa, Florida, the fault line is going to break off. And as Andre the Giant falls into the ocean, as my next two opponents fall to the ocean floor and I pin them, so will Donald Trump and all the Hulkamaniacs. But as Donald Trump hangs onto the top of the Trump Plaza with his family under his other arm, as they sink to the bottom of the sea, thank God Donald Trump's a Hulkamaniac. He'll know enough to let go of his materialistic possessions, hang on to the wife and kids, dog paddle with his life all the way to safety. But Donald, if something happens, you run out of gas, and all those little Hulkamaniacs run out of gas, just hang on to the largest back in the world, and I'll dog paddle us, backstroke all of us to safety.
Oh, and thank you, Hulk Hogan. Let's get back to action. Wow.
And it's just like, well, this has nothing to do with a match even. Like,
suck Trump's dick so much in 88.
They've got a good 30-year history at this point and just sucking Donald Trump's dick. That's got to make Trump feel real good.
Let me tell you something, Craig DeGeorge.
Yeah, Craig DeGeorge.
You know, you got these short-term investments, and a lot of times with short-term investments, you get burned. Mm-hmm. That's why... real millionaires like Trump and I forget who the other one he referenced. Man. It's like they make investments.
Trump's dad.
And they got stocks and they got donations to charities.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, Trump doesn't have that.
No, he's got his name on a bunch of high priced real estate.
Yeah.
But you know, smart guy. Put your name all over everything and everybody thinks you're a genius.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the same thing that Hulk Hogan did, so there's a lot of...
Game recognized game, son.
Except Trump's got a little bit of a edge on Hulk Hogan, because, you know, he's on tape saying 1 million offensive things, and he's still full-on in charge of his life, whereas Hogan, he's on tape saying one offensive thing, and it's all like, ooh, I gotta go away forever now, so...
Trump's got...
Donald's better than you at being a pro wrestler, Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, Hogan's got a lot more failed businesses than Trump, too.
I think you're underestimating how many times Donald Trump has failed in business.
No, I think you're right.
That man bankrupted a casino. The house always wins, Matt. The house is supposed to always win.
Not when you're generous and want other people to get a little bit of action.
That's true. All he wanted was to bring WrestleManias into people's hearts, and he gets vilified for it.
So allow me, without further ado, to introduce you to the man via satellite. Joining us now, ladies and gentlemen, the new and no doubt proud owner of Monday Night Raw, Donald J. Trump. Money, money, money.
Congratulations, Vince. You finally put your ego aside and made a smart business move for a change. It's true. I, Donald Trump, am now the sole owner of Monday Night Raw. You know, Vince, you never really showed your appreciation for the Raw audience. Never once did I see that appreciation.
Well, that's not true.
I'm going to do stuff that's never been done before, never been seen before. People have been watching Raw for 17 years, and they deserve something special. You've made a lot of money off these people. It's about time you give back. Like our president says, give back.
No, wait a minute, Donald. I have been giving back, and I've been doing it for some time. And quite frankly, I don't think it's too much for us for the WWE Universe to give back to me. Giving back and...
Raw has produced more weekly episodes than any show in entertainment history, and the WWE Universe is the reason why.
Well, it's
time they got something back. A little appreciation for their loyalty for being a fan.
What?
My first act as owner is to do something unprecedented, unheard of, something you were too selfish and cheap to make happen, Vince. For the first time in its 17-year history, next week, Raw will be presented live on USA commercial-free.
I didn't sound like
Donald
Trump.
That's right, Vince. It'll be commercial-free. I'll repeat that for you, Vince. Commercial-free. No commercials. The whole telecast, no commercials. That's because of Donald Trump.
Okay, what's your last one?
That lumberjack match.
Oh, okay. The big IC title lumberjack match.
I didn't hate it.
No, it was
a lot of fun times.
I mean, a lumberjack match is kind of inherently dumb.
I was just going to say, it's one of my favorite lumberjack matches I've ever seen.
A lot of time spent just messing around, like throw a guy out, and then he gets thrown back in, and then you throw him out, and he gets thrown back in. Who cares?
Sometimes they'll do the tease, like too often nowadays if they have a lumberjack match, like, oh, he almost went out. I like this one because, like, their whole goal was just, I'm going to throw you into those guys that hate you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it was a nice way to kind of to start the match and develop it.
Like, if you got like a pit of sharks that you're dangling over in a movie, you got to tease a couple. Ooh, I'm going to that shark pit. I'm going to that shark pit.
So that's all going on. You got Jimmy Hart just flipping the fuck out the entire match because things are beyond his control.
Jimmy Hart, the MVP, every time he's out there. It doesn't matter who's out there with him.
He, for a second, he gets close enough to the broadcast announce table where they ask him a question, and he just shrieks higher than he ever has before, and you can't understand anything he's saying. He's just like, Darryl, I tell you what, all these guys are trying to get a piece of Hogan, I don't understand, I'm scared. And it's just like, is he Don Knotts?
Stay
or
in the ring,
like,
Hogan, stay in the ring!
It was
gotta stay away from those lumberjacks, Honky!
It was pretty incredible. Jack, you're what?
Yeah, I feel like when he was out there with Honky is when he would be the most, like, fucking animated and just shrieky.
Yeah.
Like, he was all just falsetto shrieking whenever he was doing a Honky match.
Like, this is the first we've gotten Honky.
Prime Jimmy Hart.
In 88 here.
Oh, man, this guy. He talked about being over as a heel.
Yeah.
This crowd wanted to see him get his ass kicked so bad.
And he's,
Everything he does, like, anytime it looks like Ricky Steamboat's going to get the advantage, like, people are just frothing at the mouth.
I mean,
just wanting to see him take punishment.
It's unfair to say because you got him fighting against one of the best baby faces, or at least a guy that can get you over as the bad guy. So, of course, it's going to look 10 times better. But it just...
I feel Honky was the more over in this match.
Yeah, yeah.
His heel power...
He just, everything he did,
shining bright
out there.
He did
it right. I mean, he was confident and he was capable and
bumping.
Yeah, he's
bumping pretty well.
He could bump.
Showing ass whenever Ricky Steamboat was laying into him.
But all of his offense was legit.
Yeah.
None of it looked chicken shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he gets up on the second rope. He's going to do that, you know, good old second rope fist to the forehead or whatever.
Classic move.
And Steamboat's a good more than half of the way across the ring. And the announce team's even like, ooh, he's a little far there. I don't know if you can... Oh, okay, no, he just punched
him
in the head.
What's this chubby Tennessee hillbilly thinking?
Yeah.
There's no way he's getting all the way out there.
He was killing it. I love the finish. That finish played out perfectly. It looked great. Everybody played their part well. George the Animal Steel counting the three count like an idiot to inadvertently tying up the ref.
Honky cheats to win. Looks like the bad guy. Ricky Steamboat gets conked in the head, so it's not like it's hurting him much.
Right, and like it doesn't come across so much as that Honky Tonk Man can't win without cheating.
Yeah, yeah.
As much as it is, if Honky Tonk Man can cheat to win,
mm-hmm.
he's going to cheat to win.
Because
mm-hmm. a W is a W.
Win if you can, lose if you must.
Yeah.
But always cheat.
Always cheat.
So does that wrap it up? That's all our points for this episode of Primetime Wrestling.
Go
just
home.
Is a little bit, I just want to say, they ended on an Andre interview.
Oh, yeah.
And he was all the way sweat-soaked through his shirt just from doing a backstage interview.
Yeah.
That's gross. I bet that was smelly.
Yeah.
I bet he was a smelly man to be around.
We'll have to watch the HBO documentary to find out.
Maybe that'll get some money out of that for next week's three count.
Fingers crossed.
Or five rundown. Next is a three count.
If that don't get us money, these commercials will.
Mm.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Sweet secrets, sweet secrets.
Your jewelry's really beautiful.
It's beautiful jewelry to everyone else, but it turns into playmates when you're by yourself. Cute pandas, koalas, and pretty friends come from rubies, emeralds, and all sorts of gems.
Who are you playing with in there?
Sweet secrets. The secret girls love to keep. Sweet secrets jewelry, each sold separately, new from the lube.
Do you know what the Bronx Zoo is?
The Bronx Zoo is a place where animals come from all over the world to see what people look like.
At the Bronx Zoo, our animals live in natural environments. So we'd like them to see you relaxed and comfortable too. So dress casually and bring the whole family. Call 933-1759 for easy transportation information. Oh, don't forget, look natural.
Three count. I don't know. I don't got a song for it.
Oh, we should have thought about it the whole time we were sitting around taking a break. But
I was talking about the debate. You know, I had debate notes about the debate.
Big local debate going on.
Debating the debate, if you will.
How do you think the debate went? Did we do okay? Did our side do okay?
For a debut, mm-hmm. it was...
First debate.
It was not debilitating.
Okay,
it was
good.
Not a debacle.
Good.
It was the best.
We're going to take this race. I'm feeling it right now.
Yeah.
All you
Vote
other people running
for Donnelly.
All you people running for local stuff, watch out. We coming for you.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. So, you know, I'm sorry. That's the last time I'm going to let it cut into my wrestling podcasting.
We can't let this happen again. If we don't come back from a break with some sort of, song we're singing
with the lyrics vaguely changed to talk about the fact that our next thing is called
the three count. People are going to get pissed, man.
I
assume everybody thinks that that's the greatest.
Yeah. That's what they're coming here for. And that's,
Jeez.
That's on me. Okay. Speaking of burping.
You could just skip the second half of this show this week if... You want to?
Nah. Did you, you're a fan of the Ricks and the Mortys?
I have seen every episode of Rick and Morty. I've enjoyed about 95% of them, but I find that, I've seen them all once.
Yeah.
And I can't, go back to specifics about them. People want to talk to me about Rick and Morty, and they're like, this quote. And I'm like, you know what? When I was young, I could watch things and then, quote from it. Right. I find that these days... Once I watch something, it's in and out, man.
Oh,
it's
absolutely.
Gone.
Yeah.
You try to ask me to quote from something or be like, oh, yeah, that one bit. This shit just doesn't stick with me anymore.
Right.
I think I got too many adult worries going on, Matt.
No. It's two different things for both of us.
Okay.
For me, it's, for you, it's your crippling alcoholism.
Don't cry for me. I'm already dead.
And for me, it's the CTE.
Oh, yeah. You've taken a lot of shots to the dome over the years.
Some of those.
Just fireworks blowing up in your face, falling off of roofs that you got up on for no reason.
And there was that 5 consecutive 4th of Julys where I fell out of the tree in your front yard.
You
in some
injured
capacity.
Yourself, I feel like, in more ways than just falling here on 4th of July a lot of times.
Well, there's the wheelchair guffaw.
Yeah, you definitely shouldn't have been drunkenly going around in that wheelchair because you hurt yourself real bad.
Yeah.
Just definitely falling out of the tree.
I think
you fell off my shed once.
The shed.
It's the time you shot the firework at the back of my house. That almost killed James Potter, but I think you came out of it cool.
Except for when he, you know, started clubbing.
Oh, yeah. Then he probably punched you a bunch afterwards. Yeah. And he's a big bear of a man.
Rattled
that brain around in your noggin a little bit.
And that's just in my 20s. We're not talking about, like, getting thrown off of a car when I was in my teens and landing on the back of my head.
You hung out with Space Hog a lot. I bet that big concrete brick of a Polak head have been knocking you around here and there.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
You got a lot of rough road behind you, my man.
Yeah.
It's a wonder you don't have crippling alcoholism.
I might. I just can't remember.
Oh, that's true. You do have a lot of secrets, like a teenage girl. I've noticed that.
Yes.
So many secrets.
I'm a mystery wrapped in an
enigma.
I'm always
jerking your pants open to see if you got any cuts under your panty line. All right, show me that waist.
That's, you know, that's how I cope with
things. Show me that waist. It's time for your weekly check.
Oh, what real world was that?
With Frankie the Cutter, you're talking about? Yeah, that was, like I said, first fucking four seasons of Real World from back in the day. I could quote from those, like they're fucking classic films starring Chevy Chase or something. Anything after that, I vaguely
just wanted
remember
to feel.
It. It's all a mix.
Is that four or five?
No, it's way after that.
Is it?
Four was the London cast. Five was the Miami cast. Five is when it got bad because they changed over producers and turned it into just like a getting 19-year-olds drunk shit show. Four was real good. That's when Neil got his tongue bit off when his band Unilever was playing and he tried to kiss that guy and the guy just bit into his tongue.
Right.
And then on Valentine's Day, his girlfriend sent him that pig's heart with a nail through it.
Right.
And he had a bunch of existential angst over it, but then it turns out it was just a dark joke she did. And then they still were dating.
And there was a race car driver.
Oh, I want some sort of gross chav girl from London who's into dumb, like, alterna punk stuff to date so she could send me barbed wire and black flowers. And then I can be like, oh, she's so deep.
You just want to sit back for a second and cue up the Born Slippy Nucks? Let it play for a second?
Yeah, I don't know if we have enough money to get the rights for that, though. Yeah. That was a big track, man.
Yeah, we'll get that live version we play at the bar all the time.
We're not the movie Hackers. We can't just be fucking optioning all this fucking music. That Hackers soundtrack, people don't talk about it enough. You need to go back and look at that.
When's Mondo putting that on?
People
vinyl?
Are always like, blah, blah, blah. The Saint soundtrack. Such a great late 90s fucking techno electronica gem. And
the
I'm like,
Saint? Is that the one with John Travolta where he's an angel?
That's Val Kilmer where he's a secret spy. You're thinking about Michael.
Yeah.
Which did not have a good soundtrack.
You sure?
Yeah. What is he? Spirit in the Sky. There's that.
Oh,
on the
right there. Nice. Yeah.
Up, and he's like dancing and making. I think he might be making pancakes, but I just might be conflating that movie with Uncle Buck in my
head
now.
I'm not from this world. I'm from heaven. This music is so good.
Michael and the Phenomenon made like a great twofer where it was like, we're casting John Travolta as mystical beings for some reason.
Yeah.
That was a weird period of the 90s.
Mondo just announced they're releasing.
They've got some Michael prints doing?
No, they're doing Bill and Ted.
Excellent!
Oh, okay. That's
the
pretty
soundtrack.
Good. Yeah, the sound on some vinyl. They did a vinyl print.
Orange vinyl.
That would have been nice if they would have.
Just says Wild Stallions.
Pressed that Phenomenon soundtrack on some vinyl.
Well,
I might think about buying that.
Don't give up.
Just a little note for you people at Mondo. Get your shit together. Where's all your Travolta swag?
They're too busy with the Wild Stallions because the Wild Stallions are a couple of party animals.
Yeah, I hear
Nate.
They're finally coming back. That third movie's finally getting put together. Or at least enough so that they're doing studio shots
party
with each other to promote them.
Really?
Yeah, I've been hearing about that shit for like 12 years. Hopefully it's finally happening this time.
Wow.
I'm ready for more Wild Stallions.
Speaking of stallions and other party animals.
That's a fucking baller transition right there.
That's what I do, man. That's why I spent millions of dollars to go to broadcast school.
Oh, God.
So I could do this
spent
right here.
Money for that?
So we could do this right here.
The three count this week. We're in the WWF, the land of outlandish gimmicks. We got Matilda getting stolen. We got Coco Beware going to time limit draws. So we're like, fuck. Topic for this week, best animal-themed wrestlers.
Ooh.
Who's a wrestler, but also an animal that we like? I'm sure you all got your lists, but, you know, ours are kind of official because we've set up microphones and we're recording it, which gives us the power.
Go fuck yourself. Hey.
Now that we're drunk on power.
And beer. Speaking of going to fuck yourself,
drinking whiskey.
Tell us to fuck ourselves. Hit us up on the multi-socials medias.
Oh, we got those?
We got them all, the Instagrams.
I should probably start checking
the
them.
The Twitters.
To see if people are actually trying
Facebook.
To hit us up.
If you got an opinion of a three count, let us know what you think. Yeah. I'd love to see what you think should have been in the three count.
It's probably going to be a dumb idea. These people don't have microphones.
Yeah, you're not as smart as I am. Duh. But I...
they were smart. They'd have microphones set up in their living room like I do.
But I'll laugh at you. So let me know. Let me know.
Delusions of grandeur.
All right. My three count.
Okay, yeah, let's start it out. What's your number three?
Fat ass party animals.
Oh, they're all fat ass party animals? You went with a theme?
Isn't that what we're doing?
Yeah. No. It could be. It could have been something you did.
I got Scott Hall, Flair, and Billy Jack Haynes because I lost cocaine so much.
That's not exactly what we were doing.
Okay, well.
Somebody with maybe an animal in their name.
I'll wing it.
Somebody
like
who's acting like they're an animal.
So like a guy, like a man, acting like a beast.
Maybe they drag an animal along with them. I don't know. They got an animal
or
theme
man,
to their gimmick.
A man acting like a beast, like a half man, a half beast.
Well, I don't think there's any of those in wrestling.
Oh, there was one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and he stomped about the ring, and he ran at people, and he mooed like a cow, and he also wore a bull's head to the ring.
Oh, boy.
Not Big Van Vader.
I was going to say rhino until you said mooing, and now it's just like...
Mantar.
Oh, the real bull of the woods, Mantar?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know anything about Mantar other than have a vague memory of that big... woolly mammoth head that he'd wear to the ring. So you're gonna have to. I'm either gonna have to bing it or you're gonna have to fill me in here about what's going on with Mantar.
Came
this was like
in '95.
I was gonna say this is definitely era I was not watching wrestling,
which
in
is,
between like the '93 crash and the turning of Hulk Hogan in '96.
That's the best part of this.
The
gimmick.
Dark years.
That's the best part of this gimmick is that it took place in '95 when it's. Just, it smacks of 91, 92 WWF.
Come on, man. The world's changing, Vince.
Yeah.
You get your finger on a new pulse.
Yeah. Oh, he's from the islands of Crete.
Okay, so they're going full on, like, pseudo-Roman Greek mythology type shit with him.
Sure. He's just a fat white guy that wears a bull head.
So, this, yeah, essentially... I'm sure he should have just been the Minotaur, but Vince kept mispronouncing it and was just
he's
like...
He's gonna be a Mantar.
What's a Minotaur? He's not a minnow. He's not small. He's a man.
Man, he's a
he's
Mantar.
He's a man half-piece. He's Mantar. He's not Minotaur. What's a Minotaur?
He's not miniature. He's Mantar.
And I'm like, you want to know what a Minotaur is, Vince? Let's watch Fellini's Satyricon at the end when they have like all the orgies at the labyrinth and weird stuff's going on with that bullcock.
You're thinking of Dave Makes a Maze where Johnny Nitro... plays a Minotaur.
Oh, I thought you were saying something your little brother Davey R. Shyster was doing. I'm like,
no.
What's Dave doing with Bullcock?
It was a great little indie film. Dave Makes a Maze.
Okay,
check
I'll
out.
Check it out. Also, I want to watch Fellini's Satyricon with Vince McMahon, though.
Oh, that's going to be a wild ride that I don't know that you really are ready
like
for that.
I want to pick his brain. I want to show him that movie and all of its pansexuality, and then I want to pick his brain about it.
They're faking it. They're... That's not how we really feel.
I'll show these guys what it's like to be a true power cuck.
I'm not going to continue with that anymore.
Okay.
But yeah, Mantar, he was great. He left the WWF. He came back.
Oh, that's sad. Oh, happy ending.
And then he left.
Oh, maybe not.
And then he came back.
Wait, why did they keep bringing him back so many times?
Well, the third time he came back as Tank in the Truth Commission. And he fought on two episodes of Shotgun Saturday Night.
I was going to say, I vaguely remember the Truth Commission, but I don't remember that. And that makes sense because nobody watched Shotgun Saturday Night.
It was cool when it was in the club.
Yeah, I know that you like Shotgun Saturday Night, but there was literally like four other people who watched it.
You're an asshole. Well, you got a number one?
I call him like I see him. My first
or
one.
Three or whatever.
Yeah,
we count. We go
down in reverse order. Okay, I did a tie for my number three. This is Dead Heat.
Spoiler alert. I got a tie at number two.
These two guys are sharing it. It's Coco Beware and the Red Rooster.
Ooh!
Two contemporaries
Ooh!
On the roster at the same time. Both doing bird gimmicks. They both move like a bird. You got Coco flaps his arms like wings. Red Rooster kind of just like pecks his head around, moving his neck. Like
Red
a strutting
rooster.
Little rooster.
Yeah.
Both Coco could sing like a bird, quite frankly, And he's a real songbird. And Red Rooster can crow like a bird.
Nate, sometimes love.
At that point, yeah.
Sometimes love sounds like an argument.
Yeah, it could be a real pile driver. I don't know the rest of the words. These guys got a dead heat going. They got their outfits, their looks going on. Kogo's got parrots all over his gear. Red Rooster's got that shock of red hair. It looks like a big fucking, you know, rooster's head. They're both. Coco actually brings a bird to the ring. So I feel like he should actually.
Well, but yeah, but like.
Get it?
Red Rooster was a bird.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like Kogo sort of wins it a little bit because he actually. But then I'm like, I'm making it a tie. I'm bumping Rooster up because I know he gets real mad when you even talk about the gimmick and acknowledge it. So it's just to spite his ass. You're the best fucking dumb bird gimmick ever, you dumb dumb.
Who had the better theme music? I know you love that Coco Bird 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 song.
Yeah.
But then there's Red Rooster.
Underrated Red Rooster, I'm going to say, but he's still nothing tops Bird Bird Bird. Bird Bird Bird.
I know you're a big fan
Bird Bird Bird. Bird, and even time he comes out in these 88 shows and they got him coming out to Pile Driver to promote Pile Driver.
Makes me mad.
I'm like, fuck that. Give me some Bird Bird Bird.
Yeah.
You can really flap your arms to Bird Bird Bird. It's a perfect song.
Sometimes love sounds like an argument.
So, yeah, technically it's a
sometimes
tie.
Sometimes love sounds like a Pile Driver.
Mostly it's just a spite fucking Terry Taylor. You prick.
Wow. I got a tie at number two.
This is crazy.
Is great because I was like, I was so proud of myself putting this list together. I'm like, I'm going to do the first ever tie on Baby Oil and Blow. Nope. This is a big
deal.
Beat
you to it, asshole.
You did, but it's great because we both cared about this list so much that we couldn't just say one person.
Yeah, you got to. Too many good animals.
Sometimes there's one animal. Sometimes there's one animal.
Animals.
Yeah, much like the bird, it's an important animal and it's king of the animals.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. Harley Race.
Kind
of
like that.
King of the animals.
Yeah. So this animal is a different kind of animal.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't run around on the ground. He doesn't fly around in the sky.
No?
He swims around in the deep blue sea.
Oh, okay.
I hate the sea.
Deepest, bluest. My head is like a shark's fin. Deepest, bluest. My head is like a shark's fin.
That's why I got to give a tie to not only the shark.
Okay.
But Shark Boy.
The shark and Shark Boy.
Yeah.
Two sharks.
Two sharks.
That makes a lot of sense.
I'm tying it at number two.
Like, Shark Boy, I'm going to say, does a shark gimmick a little bit better. But
yeah,
if you look at their
it.
Whole careers,
he lived it.
John Tenta, the shark, he's got a more impressive career.
Right.
Who do you pick? Let's just do a tie.
And it's like, again, Shark Boy, he committed to that. He bit you on the ass. He had the mask. And then he did that Stone Cold Shark Boy gimmick.
I was
going to
say, how do you feel
great.
About the Stone Cold Shark Boy?
Who doesn't like it?
Because that's the fishing line. Because Shark Boy said so.
That's good stuff.
Real good stuff.
Can you blame him? Everybody
the
liked
shark,
doing that.
When Tenta was
the shark,
shark,
right.
I
why?
Don't really remember anything about that. I think.
Why was he the shark?
He was just like a big fat guy still, but they called him the shark.
Because
right?
he left the WWF.
Well, yeah.
Where he
yeah.
was.
Mm-hmm. The earthquake.
And then he goes to
the
WCW.
Canadian earthquake.
He goes to WCW where he becomes.
They called him like six things.
Avalanche.
Okay. That makes more sense. Because they were good at their like knockoff of what you used to be type shit.
WWF said that's a little too close, pal.
Legal reasons why they
Boom.
Changed it to a shark.
And then he becomes the shark.
It's weird that they didn't go with the whale.
I'm the shark.
Because he was a big fat guy. You don't really think of sharks as being
offensive.
Fat.
Maybe he was really good at swimming.
Yeah, buoyant. Tommy Shytown's a fucking...
Oh, he's shown us time and time again.
He's a real merman once you get him in the water.
Merman!
He's a real lumbering goon on the land. You get him in the icy waters of Lake Michigan and he comes alive.
Boy, howdy.
My number two is a real legend of the squared circle. That's the Junkyard Dog, JYD. Old Thump Butt himself. I like that, like, he was subtle incorporating the mannerisms of a dog into his gimmick. But, you know, he had it going on. He crawled around on all fours like a dog, headbutting people. He had barking noises in his entrance music.
Nice.
And
nice.
I like that there's, like, he's not just a normal dog. He's a junkyard dog. So he's going to come with, like, a chain around his neck. Like, this is an old chain I got from the junkyard. And that's real mean. And everybody likes a dog. which social media has made very clear.
Yeah.
Like, people are fucking obsessed with their dogs. Spend they talk like morons when they talk about dogs. Have you seen this shit? They call them doggos, and then they call them puppers, and then, like, they'll, like, post a picture of a dog, and they'll, like, have the dog talking, like, what his monologue is. But, like, it's just, like, real, like, dumb-sounding stuff. Like, the dog's developmentally disabled. Like, oh, he's dog. I can goes outside, am dog. And they just do this, and it's, like, a bunch of adults doing this on the internet. And they spend, like, all day doing this, from what I can tell. And, like, A, who the fuck talks like that? You sound like a stupid fucking baby. And B, get over your dog. It's just a mangy animal. Like, do something with your life. Get out there and fucking do something with your life. So people like dogs, and the junkyard dog is popular too.
Arms of the angel. You know those commercials?
Adia, I do believe.
All right.
Yeah.
You want to make me give a fuck about a dog getting that beat or whole, not fed?
That whole album is good.
Yeah.
Where's the Sarah McLachlan comeback?
Can I tell you?
I'm ready for a McLachlan-essence.
Can I tell you an honest to God truth?
Yeah, I'd love to hear it. Lay it on me.
Last CD I ever bought.
Uh-huh.
That Sarah McLachlan, whatever the fuck the name of that
something
one is.
Something like Dancing Into Infinity or something.
Whatever
is what
it
was
called. That's a dynamite album.
I definitely, I'm not going to say it was the last one I bought, but I owned it for fucking sure.
It was. Well, I wore
that motherfucker out.
I was out and about. My car had a CD player. I really wanted to listen to that album. And for whatever reason, I was like, I'm at this place. I'm just going to buy this CD. But wherever I was.
Surfacing. I think it was just
maybe,
called Surfacing.
Yeah.
I tell you what, there's a B track on there. Didn't get any play. Nobody talks about it. I think it was just called I Love You.
Uh-huh.
Just like a real slow, droney song.
Uh-huh.
Kind of even like a Mazzy uh-huh. Star type
yeah.
deal, even a little
yeah.
bit. Ooh, I was way into that one.
Yeah. I got a number one.
Okay. Well, we're at number one already. This is moving right along.
I like this because he was named after the animal.
Mm-hmm.
He wrestled like the animal.
Mm-hmm.
It was Legitsky's.
Yes.
It was all power. It was no nonsense. It worked. You referenced him earlier.
I did?
The animal. Rhino.
Oh, wow. I thought yeah. we were going to go George the Animal Steel. And I was like,
no.
I don't think there's any animal that acts like him. There's no green-tongued animals, but Rhino, yeah.
Rhino, especially his little trip with the strap in ECW.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Where they just...
pile driving women through tables.
Yeah, they were running out of people because everybody was leaving their company to go to other companies.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Paul Heyman was like, well, fuck it. I'm just going to make Rhino the champion.
Yeah, just take this 20-year-old fucking thick as a brick goon
right.
and have him run
that
through
everybody. That could run really fast, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so like his gimmick was he would just put a table in the corner and then he'd put a human body in the corner, and then he'd run through both of them as hard and fast
gore,
as he could.
Gore, gore,
right, and everybody
Heyman
does
really
the...
got him over in WWF
right.
by doing that during all his matches on commentary, too.
Everybody does the fucking spear, but this guy does it well, and instead of just being the spear, he's a rhino, so what is he going to
mm-hmm,
do?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to gore you.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, he's pile-driving women through tables. He was doing it all, man. And he even had a couple of okay years with the WWE when he came in.
And he's been around forever now, and he
yeah.
still looks good. And like every time I see him, he's still having fine matches.
Yeah, he's still the same workhorse he was.
One of the few people that like went to TNA and didn't have it like totally like put a stain on him.
Right.
Who
you got? You got a guy?
My number one.
You can go.
I don't have a guy for
go.
My number one.
Oh.
My
thanks
one
for tuning in. This okay, go ahead.
Is Terrible Ted the wrestling bear?
Oh,
Terrible Ted was a Canadian black bear who was declawed and defanged.
Oh god!
And he was sent around the territories wrestling people from the 50s through the late 70s. This bear. So this is not a man. This is a bear. He had a 20-year career where he was wrestling at the top of cards. He was brought in as a big attraction. This is nothing to sneeze at. Very few people in wrestling can say they were doing it for 20 years. What are all these noises you're making?
They took his claws and his fangs out.
Yeah, Terrible Ted the Wrestling Bear.
Oh,
to be fair, they didn't do it. the circus did it at first, and then the circus closed, so then they had him start wrestling. So, you know,
at
this
least
is also,
they gave him a second career.
He's
circus is the enemy's
two
here.
Two big periods.
As long as it's not wrestling's
big,
fault.
There's probably the same guys in charge of both. Yeah, but either way, big draw on the circus. That closes down, so he becomes a big draw in wrestling.
He's the original Mickey Rourke.
I just want to say to you all tonight, I'm very grateful to be here. A lot of people told me that I'd never wrestle again, and that's all I do. You know, if you live hard and you play hard and you burn the candle at both ends, you pay the price for it. You know, in this life, you can lose everything that you love, everything that loves you. Now, I don't hear as good as I used to, and I forget stuff. And I ain't as pretty as I used to be. But God damn it, I'm still standing here, and I'm the ramp. As time goes by, they say he's washed up. He's finished. He's a loser. He's all through. You know what? The only ones who are going to tell me when I'm through doing my thing is you people here. You people here. You people here are the ones who are worth bringing it for because you're my family.
In October 1970, he spent a few days in the Lowndes County Jail. Because they used to do a gimmick, you know, where they'd be like, hey, we'll give $3,000 to anybody in the crowd who can pin this bear.
Yeah.
So then, like at one point, there was a guy, I forget, who actually pinned the bear. But then, like, they tried to not give him his money. So then he, like, sued them. And then, like, there's a big court deal. But this one was, like, this is late in a terrible Ted's career.
This is awful.
So, like, they're like, there's this big burly construction worker. I think they were down to $1,500 at this point. And they're like, $1,500.
Well, Ted's a little long in the tooth at this point.
And he's
yeah.
like, well, I'll take the deal. But at this point, like, Ted was getting grumpy. He was getting old and he was starting to legit hurt people. And, like, it was a problem. And they're like, we got to cancel. This thing's out of control now. Like, Ted is no longer a tamed working bear. He's going back to being a wild bear. So this guy was like, fuck that. You just know that I'll beat him. So then he like got the authorities involved and like, these guys are welching on this deal. We had a contract signed out. So then the bear and his handler had to be in jail for a few days before this all got sorted out.
I don't know how I'm offended the most. Uh-huh. If it's as a wrestling fan, if it's as a person that likes animals, or if it's like a jailer, like
being a real snowflake.
I got a lot of things.
Being a real delicate snowflake. This is all just good, solid entertainment. As far as this is the entertainment business, baby.
Maybe it's being brothers with a guy named Ted. I got a lot of feelings going here.
So terrible. Ted had a brush with greatness.
when did he die?
He had a feud.
He had a
feud with a wrestling legend. Early in the man's career.
Who's Ted's or the wrestler?
Early in the wrestler's career. Probably a little later in Ted's career. Up in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. He's working some shots for Stampede Wrestling. Turns out, while he was in the territory, he was living at the Hart House. So he had all those Hart kids hanging around. And Ted the Bear, he was hanging around there too, just living.
Do you think Stu stretched him?
I'm sure Stu stretched him. I'm certain there were thousands of despicable animal abuses that those snot-nosed punk Canadian kids were doing to him while he was there. But I happen to have heard in an interview that a young man by the name of Brett the Hitman Hart, WWE Hall of Famer, back when he was a young lad before he got into the wrestling business, had a little bit of a program with Ted where what he would do is he would smear ice cream on his feet. And then he'd let Ted lick the ice cream off of his feet. Fond memories of terrible Ted the wrestling bear.
This was just at his house?
Yeah, this was at his house. Just he'd chill with the bear and he'd want the bear to lick his feet. So he'd smear some ice cream on his feet and then the bear would just go
to town.
You
know, I'd put the ice cream on my feet.
Licking on his feet.
And then when he was licking it up, I'd pleasure myself.
Oh, that's... That's a malicious accusatory right there. I don't know if anybody's on the record as saying that Brett was jerking off during this.
And that's the day I lost all respect for myself.
That's every Bret Hart story coming full circle.
Oh,
the
God.
Day young Bret Hart lost all respect for himself.
That's why respect became such a big thing to him.
Lost all respect for humanity. Can you just picture greasy-haired 12-year-old Bret Hart having an old dying bear lick ice cream off of his feet?
Owen walks down there and he's like, "What are you doing, Brett?" He's like, "Go
upstairs.
Don't
look at me. Shut the lights off.
Turn off the lights and go back upstairs, Owen. This ain't for you. This ain't for you."
So that's a legendary career, if you ask me. My number one actual wrestling animal. Terrible Ted the Wrestling Bear.
In the arms of the angel.
If this was a video.
That's the only thing that's getting
podcast,
me through life right now.
A montage of, you know, just sad looking bears being abused in circuses while we play Sarah McLachlan songs over it.
Speaking of circuses,
mm-hmm.
Where will we be next week?
Oh, next week's going to be crazy, man. We're going back to World Championship Wrestling.
Crazy town.
It's going to be the episode from February 6th, 1988.
Oh, snap. What happens in that episode, Nate?
Sting confronts, you know, Ric Flair over their upcoming main event match at Clash of the Champions.
Is there anything else that culminates?
I'm not sure. It might be.
Maybe a couple guys.
Is this where we're finally getting the bench press competition?
A couple of plates.
If this finally happens, I don't think it's
ever
going to
happen. You want to see bench press done right.
I think it's going to be like Glacier, where they just keep building it for like 9 months. And then
he was supposed to have a Mortal Kombat stable, all right?
Yeah.
It's not his fault.
That's next week. And then in 2 weeks, we're coming back up north for the main event.
Ooh.
The highest rated still wrestling broadcast in pro wrestling history. We're going to be covering it right here on this show. Which is
called Baby Oil and Blow.